But I want to say I wasn't able to be here, but I did see some of the pictures online, and we got a card in the mail too. And I want to say thanks to the church for everything that was done to honor veterans this last Sunday, and thank you for the card that was sent, and for tonight, thank you for the offering. Definitely, when I say this every time we preach, and there's been times the Lord's tested me, or things have tested me, but it's true. I don't preach for offerings. I preach to do the Lord's will, and we do appreciate that tonight. Had something on my heart the last couple days. I just really felt the Lord dealing with me as we were coming down, and just a few things that started to stir in my heart, and so I began praying about it, and sometimes you have to really work and struggle and fight to try to get a message, and sometimes it just hits you, and this is one of those, and hopefully it'll hit you too. And hopefully it won't hit us all between the eyes, but I'm going to try to just preach and obey the Lord tonight. But I want to preach from Acts chapter number 8 and read some of the verses of Scripture there. And I just want to start in verse 1. In that, and if you're able to, let's stand together and honor the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read a few places. I'm going to kind of skip through this fairly familiar portion of Scripture, and focus on some of the key verses that I'd like to preach from tonight. Acts chapter number 8, and verse number 1, and it says there, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Verse number 4, it says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man, called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one." Verse number 13. "Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Then on to verse number 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself unto this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? Verse number 35, Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus." I like that. And on down to verse number 39. "And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." Amen. Would you pray with me that the Lord would come by and help us? Dear God, we thank you for your word. We know, God, that you're already here tonight, but I pray that you manifest your power and your glory. I pray that you'd help us to enter into your presence. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, that my feeble words, oh God, would be anointed by your Spirit. And Lord, that you'd move in our hearts and in our lives, Lord God. Move in these altars and bless the church tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You can be seated if you'd like. Amen. I'd like to preach for a little while tonight on a breakout service. Amen. A breakout service. Amen. A couple of the scriptures I was thinking of and seeking the Lord after is 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse 17. And it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Then in Galatians 5 and 1, it says, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Amen. I'd like to preach tonight, as I said, on a breakout service. Or I guess another way to title this, if you don't like that one, is Saints, a Sorcerer, and an Evangelist. Amen. But looking at this scripture here, I love to read through the book of Acts. And I was talking with somebody about it today at work. One of the ladies at work was saying some different things, and she was talking about how her aunt was inviting her to church so many times, and she was telling how she was raised Catholic, and all her life she'd gone to Catholic church and everything else like that, and she was still a Catholic, and her aunt was always inviting her to go to church with her, and you know, she was an ethnic sister. And as she was telling about that, she said, "Finally, after all those years of her giving me a hard time and pressing me and asking me to go to church," she said, "I finally went to church." She said, "When I walked in the door," because she was trying to explain to me what kinds of things she didn't like about church. She said, "When I walked in the door, my aunt started having a fit." She said, "She done ran all over that church, danced all in the aisle, fell on the floor, and her skirt ended up over her head, all just because I came into church." We invite people to church. We should be excited when they come in, but let's wait to shout till they go up to the altar, right? And surely we don't want to end up on the floor like that one was. Amen. But we got to talking some about, she said, you know, she was talking about crazy church. I said, "Well, I happen to be Pentecostal myself, and I happen to enjoy getting in and worshiping the Lord." And so we began talking some about that. Another lady that was sitting in the back of the room we were in, she started kind of speaking up too, and talking about tongues and wondering if it was in the Bible. And we started going through the book of Acts and talking some about that book. And I remember the day or the time period when I was seeking after the Holy Ghost and praying about being filled with God's Holy Ghost. And as I was seeking for the Holy Ghost, somebody told me, "Read the book of Acts." And I'll never forget the day when I began, or the time when I began thumbing through the book of Acts and reading the things that were going on there. Amen. And I still love the book of Acts. And it's called, if you look at it, the Acts of the Apostles. Some have said that it should be called Some Acts of the Apostles. Well, there's other things that people could say about it as well. Somebody said that maybe it should be called Some Acts of the Church. Amen. But I like what one man said. He said maybe it should be called Some Acts of the Holy Ghost through the church. Amen. For you see, it's not all the acts of the Holy Ghost. It's not all the acts of the church. Amen. But it's some of them, because the church didn't die in Acts chapter 28. Amen. The church continues on. Amen. On into this day and hour as well. Amen. And as we're looking at this portion of scripture here, we know that the book of the Holy Ghost moves the church of Acts. Amen. From Jerusalem all the way to Samaria. And as you get to the end of the book, it's in the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. But in this portion of scripture here in Acts chapter number 8, we see one of the greatest places that you can go with somebody. If they're trying to tell you that that you receive the Holy Ghost at salvation, and there's no need for a subsequent experience to salvation, and you don't need to pray through to the baptism if you're saved, you've already got it. Well, amen, you can take them to Acts chapter number 8 and see that there was a group of people, amen, that according to the word of God, they heard the preaching of Philip, amen, they prayed and got saved, amen, they were seeing miracles, people were being delivered, amen, and on top of all that, amen, Philip had to wait for the apostles to come from Jerusalem, and when they came, amen, they laid hands on them because the Holy Ghost hadn't fallen upon any of them yet, amen. I love to see those different times in the book of Acts when those who try to explain the scriptures away are completely proven wrong. Amen. Look in Acts chapter number 2. Amen. They were already saved, but they prayed for the Holy Ghost. Look in Acts chapter number 8 that we read and we looked at there. They were praying for the Holy Ghost after they'd already been saved. How about in Acts chapter number 10? Amen. There we find Cornelius's house. Amen. They were not even saved yet, but when they got saved, they prayed. Amen. Then the Holy Ghost fell. Then they were baptized in water. Kind of different order than a lot of times it happens. But amen. But the Holy Ghost was given. Amen. They spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Amen. And I'm thankful that we have those examples. Amen. In the Word of God. Well, in this place called Samaria, amen, it's a familiar place. And in this time period in the church, there were certain things that were going on. We read in the beginning of the chapter that the church was being hemmed in. Amen, the church was being persecuted. There was the death of Stephen that had happened in just the chapter before. Amen, and the Bible tells us that while they were there in Jerusalem and the persecution was coming, amen, that after they laid Stephen to rest in his grave, certain devout men did that. Amen, the Bible says that the Christians there in Jerusalem, they were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Bible follows just one of those that left that time and that place, and it follows Philip into a place called Samaria. Amen. Samaria, of course, was the place that was kind of the half-breed and middle ground, but also had a very rich history. Samaria was once the capital of Israel, while Jerusalem was the capital of Judah. Amen. And Samaria was a place that during the time of the nation of Israel, if you'll read the history, before Jerusalem fell, Samaria fell. Amen. Before the temple was destroyed, Samaria was destroyed. It was besieged by the Assyrian Empire. Amen. It was besieged, and they were attacked, and during that time they were overtaken. And what the Assyrians did was they would take people of the lands that they conquered, and they would bring them with them into their capital. But they would leave the poor and the lowly and the peasants and the offscore of society. Amen. In that city. And that's what they did in Samaria. They left the Jewish people who were the lower form of society, maybe the more poor people, maybe the unwanted or the rejected of society. They left them there. Amen. But then they settled their own people in and settled that area called Samaria. Amen. And as they were there, they began to intermarry with the Jews. Amen. They began to intermarry. That was forbidden to the Jewish people. Amen. They were supposed to stay within their race, but within their nationality. Amen. And as they did this, it was something that they were to do to preserve the bloodline of the Messiah. Amen. But as these Jewish people in Samaria intermarried with the Assyrians and with the heathen and with the Gentiles, amen, they produced a half-breed, a group of people that were called the Samaritans. And the Samaritans were looked down upon by all the Jewish people in that day and that time. Amen. And 600 years later, amen, here we find that Jesus dealt with that prejudice and that bias and that hatred towards the Samaritans. Amen. But Jesus showed, amen, that God even cares about the Samaritans. Amen. Jesus showed the Jews in multiple ways by meeting the woman at the well. Amen. He also showed them by giving them the parable of the man who went down to Jericho. Amen. And fell among thieves. Amen. And Jesus showed them that there was one who showed this man love and one that was truly a friend to this one who went down to Jericho. And who was it? Amen. Who was the friend? And it was the Samaritan who showed him that kind of friendship. Amen. So Jesus showed that God had no respect of persons. Amen. And on it goes that Jesus didn't want to leave Samaria out. When Christ gave his command to the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he told them they'd receive the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost was given to them, they would be witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. God had commanded them to go to this place. Amen. And so we see here in this scripture. Amen. Philip was going to the Samaritans. Amen. Philip, not the Philip that was an apostle. Amen. Because the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. But the Philip who was ordained as a deacon in the book of Acts chapter number 6. He was one of the seven, the Bible says. And the Bible also calls him an evangelist. And if you follow on through the rest of the book of Acts, you'll find that he had four daughters,
which did prophesy. Amen. And we can discuss that one later. Amen. Hallelujah. Or you can ask somebody else about that. Praise God. Amen. But as we look at this scripture here, amen, Philip was the one who went into Samaria. And when Philip got there, he did what evangelist does. He preached the gospel to them. Amen. And in this scripture here, I'd like for us to focus on three different people or three different groups of people. Amen. First of all, there's the saints that we find in Jerusalem and then scattered abroad. Second of all, there is Simon the sorcerer. Amen. And then third of all, there is Philip the evangelist. Amen. And in these three groups of people, amen, I'd like for us to maybe find ourselves. Amen. And if we do find ourselves in one or the other, maybe we can get ourselves in the right place tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. First, in looking at the Jerusalem saints, amen, there were three different modes that I'd like to talk about tonight. Amen. We have church. Amen. We are a church. And as we gather together as a body of Christ, I believe sometimes we get stuck in certain modes. Amen. Sometimes we do, and I do, and we find ourselves sometimes trying to break out of those modes, amen. And so these three different modes that I'd like to talk about, amen. First of all, the Jerusalem saints, amen, they found themselves in arrival mode, amen. They were in a place where they were comfortable, amen. They were bound by the familiar, amen. There they were in Jerusalem when Jesus had commanded them to go into all of the world and preach the gospel, amen. They were in a comfortable place, amen. They were in a familiar setting. Amen. They were in love with the familiar, so to speak. Praise God. Amen. We can find ourselves in the same place as well. Amen. The Jerusalem church, amen, the Jerusalem saints were stuck in Jerusalem. They were in arrival mode. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And looking at this church here, amen, and looking at ourselves, you know, the Jewish people in that time, they had been trained and accustomed to finding a spiritual comfort in Jerusalem. In fact, if they didn't live in Jerusalem, they came there at least three times a year. Amen. They had to come back to the feast. Amen. And when they were waiting for their Messiah to come, they would continue to encourage each other with the theme, amen, next year at Jerusalem. Amen. Jerusalem represented the familiar spiritual place, amen, for them. Jerusalem represented the great history of the past that they had. Amen. And friend, I want to tell you, amen, we have a rich history as holiness people. Amen. And we as individuals have a rich history that we can look back on and be thankful for what God has done in the past. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, God never intended for the church to be still. Amen. God never intended for the church to be comfortable with the familiar. Amen. In fact, I know the Bible says that, in fact, Jesus said that the Holy Ghost would be given to us as another comforter. Amen. But as much as He is our comforter, He didn't come to make us comfortable. Amen. I said, as much as He is our comforter, He didn't come to make us comfortable. Amen. We as human beings are always trying to find that pinnacle of life. We're trying to get to that plateau. Amen. When we work to retirement. Amen. When we do work in our house, we want to get to the place where, amen, we've got all the things done that we want to get done. Praise God. Amen. We build monuments sometimes. Amen. To our past experiences and the accomplishments that we made. Amen. We're always striving. We're always working. Amen. But when we work, we're always working for a goal. Amen. We put in 8 hours so we can punch the time card at the end of the day and walk out. Amen. We don't, sometimes we get, let that kind of a mentality translate over into our spiritual life as well. Amen. We look back at the monument of our salvation and sometimes we get stuck in that monument. Amen. When God wants us to continue to move on. Amen. We look back at the monument of when God sanctified us and filled us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But sometimes we get stuck standing in awe of a monument when God wants us to move on. Amen. We put monuments on our footprints, amen, when we should look back and realize that our footprints aren't monuments of places that we once were, but our footprints, amen, are where we put our foot down the last time we moved, amen, hallelujah, amen. I believe that the Holy Ghost, although He's always the same, He's never still, amen. Although the Holy Ghost never changes, amen, He's always moving, praise God. As saints of God, amen, as Christians, we don't need to let whatever familiarity we have hem us in to where we're stuck in Jerusalem and never doing the will of the Father. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord. Amen. It took persecution. Amen. For them to finally get to where God wanted them to be and where God wanted them to go. I understand. I'm looking at my friends. Amen. I'm looking at my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. I also understand I'm looking at my children in the same congregation. Amen. And when I look at my children, I realize that although America is in a bad place, She's on a path that's much, much worse. Amen. And if we don't somehow wake up, amen, God may allow things to get to a place where we have no choice but to wake up. Amen. I say it's high time that we awaken ourselves. Amen. Before God allows circumstances to come that do wake us up. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Thank God for the experiences of yesterday. Thank God for the great things of the past. Amen. But the past is the past. Amen. And Paul said, amen, forgetting those things which are behind. Yes, that means the bad, but it means the good sometimes too. We've got to move on. Amen. It's high time. Amen. And I wonder sometimes, amen, for myself personally too. Amen. We like to look back. Amen. But it's time that we move forward. Amen. Footprints are not just monuments of where we've been, but our footprints are a mark of where we were the last time we moved. So I'd like to ask you here tonight, how long has it been since the last time you moved? Now, I'm not talking about making the footprints between this church and that church. Amen. I'm not talking about making the footprints between, because there's a lot of people who are doing a lot of moving. Amen. But they're not getting anywhere. Right? Like the children of Israel, compassion the mountain, round and round, going round and round the mountain, but never getting anywhere spiritually. Amen. Just because we're moving doesn't mean we're moving in the right direction. Amen. But it's high time we move in the right direction. Amen. I know there's a lot of churches that are moving, but they're moving the wrong way. Amen. But I believe we need to be moving onward, and we need to be moving upward. Praise God. Amen. The Holy Ghost doesn't change. The Word of God doesn't change. Amen. But the Holy Ghost is always moving. Amen. The Holy Ghost is always the same. Amen. But the Spirit of God is never still. Amen. Look back in the Old Testament and find in creation, amen, when the earth was without form and void, the Spirit of God, amen, moved upon the face of the deep. Amen. From the beginning of time all the way to the end of time, the Spirit of God is on the move. Amen. And so the question is, if He's moving, why aren't we moving? He's moving, why aren't we moving? Amen. This church had a problem with being in arrival mode. Amen. Another place where we find some people in this portion of Scripture is in the book of Acts chapter 8, where we read about a man by the name of Simon the Sorcerer. Amen. The church was in arrival mode, but Simon the Sorcerer was in survival mode. Amen. He found himself in survival mode. What does that mean? He was moved and bound by fear. Amen. He was afraid that he was going to lose his control of the people. He was afraid that he was going to be losing his place of prominence and power. Amen. And so his fear of losing his position caused him to move into survival mode. Amen. Survival mode is a bad place to be, friend. Amen. And when it comes to spirituality, amen, being in survival mode spiritually is a bad place to be as well. Amen. Anytime we're bound by fear, amen, we're in a bad place. Amen. Anytime that fear is our motivator, amen, we're in a bad place. Amen. Have you ever been forced to move into survival mode before? In survival mode, we do things that we normally would never do. And in survival mode, we live in ways that we would never want to live. Amen. Have you ever been there before? Amen. They put me in a simulated survival mode and told us we couldn't shower for 8 days. And I know that doesn't seem like long, but you go 8 days without shower. Amen. Out in the deserts of California. Amen. I've said before, and I agree still today, I'd rather be in the deserts of Iraq and Kuwait, besides the war and the fighting and all that garbage that goes on there. But I'd rather, as far as the conditions of the desert, I'd rather be in those deserts than in the deserts of California. Amen. But while I was out in the desert, I noticed some different things. Out in California, there in Fort Irwin, California, we were going through our training. I noticed some things. The animals were a lot different in that area, in that place. Amen. Again, some people have crazy ideas about evolution. I don't believe they evolved to that condition, but I believe God made them survivors. Amen. God made the animals in the desert survivors. But if you want to meet some mean animals, amen, you mess with those desert animals. Amen. Those scorpions and the desert foxes and the desert coyotes. And in Iraq, there were the hyenas, and we'd hear them at night. They told us we were allowed to carry a magazine of ammunition as we walked across the base, just in case one of those hyenas showed their faces. Amen. Amen. There's nothing funny about laughing hyenas. Amen. They may be laughing, but they're not funny. Amen. But it's true, in the desert, you find all different kinds of creatures that have learned how to survive. Amen. And it is true in life as well. Amen. I was reading recently about some mice. A man took a bunch of mice and he wanted to do an experiment in studying these creatures and studying how they live. And he put them into a certain box and put enough food in them for them to survive, and cleaned up after them. And they all got along great. And they all were fruitful and multiplied and did things that mice did and ate the things that mice eat. They were living a healthy, happy life. But as the place began to be overpopulated and the resources began to be more scarce, amen, they began to move into survival mode. Amen. As they began to move into survival mode, they began eating each other. Amen. And they stopped reproducing and they stopped having children and everything else like that. And before too long, as they got past a certain size, amen, once they crossed that threshold and people moved, the mice moved into survival mode, every single one of those mice died. Every single one of them. He kept the place clean, amen, but the resources were more scarce, and as they moved into survival mode, they eventually turned on everyone, amen, and they lost their natural affection, amen, and they eventually, every single one of them died. Well, amen, we don't have to go far in the Bible to see, amen, that in the Galatians chapter number 5, there's a group of people that Paul said were biting and devouring one another. Amen. Oh, Lord, they were destroyed with one another. Amen. And the same is true when the church gets into survival mode. Amen. When we're worried about our turn, when we're worried about our way, amen, when we're worried about preserving things as they've always been, amen, I'm not talking about ditching standards or ditching scriptures or ditching the things that are in the Word of God, amen, but sometimes we get so hung up, amen, on certain things, amen, we just move into survival mode, amen, survival mode, all you care about is if you survive, amen, survival mode is a dog-eat-dog world, and we lose the value of another soul, we lose the value of a human being, amen, oh Lord, help us, amen, that we don't get to the place where we're living in survival mode. Amen. The children of Israel got to that place, and it was a familiar place to what we're talking about right now. Amen. In fact, it was in a place called Samaria. We talked about the fact that the Samaria was besieged. They were surrounded by the Assyrians, and there they were. Amen. They had no source of food. They had no source of water. And while they were there, they were in famine. Amen. There was a time and a place where it says that they were selling a donkey's head and eating it. Amen. Another place said they were selling dove's dung and eating that. Amen. Then they got so low to the place where they were eating their own children. Amen. Oh, Lord, that's so terrible to see such a condition. Amen. But you let the church, amen, go into a place of famine. Amen. Not just a famine of hearing the Word of God, but a famine of reading the Word of God. Amen. A famine of getting into the Word of God on your own. Amen. A famine of spending time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. God help us not to get into that place of survival mode. Amen. Our fish got into survival mode not too long ago. Did we have five, Laura? We started off with five, I think. We gave one away, and I don't know where. Then we had four, and then one jumped out. They were attacking each other. Somebody told us that we had too small of a tank for goldfish, and well, it turns out that must be true, because we had four, and they were fighting each other. Then one jumped out, and we had three, and they're still fighting each other. Then one died. Now we've got two, and it seems like they're getting along, but they still fight each other. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us not to get to a place, amen, where we're not in the resources like we should be. When resources are scarce, we begin to move into survival mode. That's not a place for the church. Amen. Fear gets a hold of people's hearts. Amen. And when we're bound by fear and motivated by fear, amen, we're living in survival mode. Amen. When I began thinking of this, my mind went back to an illustration of an artist by the name of Zorthia. Zorthia was one of these mural artists. He painted beautiful murals, and he made a lot of money doing this. But one day he began to hear the news. Amen. And in the news, he heard about a little boy who was run over by a car. And this caused him to suddenly begin to fear for his own son, worried and fearful that his son would die of the same death being run over by a car. And so although he had finalized plans to build a mansion in a busy city, amen, he decided to cancel those plans and began looking out in the country. Out in the country, he bought 12 acres, well, far away from anybody else, hoping that he could keep his son safe. Amen. He built a beautiful house up on a mountaintop, amen, in a place where no cars would be going. But even though no cars would go there, he still put children at play signs all the way up the road. Amen. On the top of that mountain, he built his house, and he built a fence around that house where his children could play. He made sure that no cars could ever come near that place where his children were playing. Amen. And he sat back in his house, and he observed everything, and he looked to see if there was any other way that possibly his child would possibly be run over by a car. And he noticed one place and one possibility. It was that he had a garage. Amen. And the danger was that one day he may back up and run his son over. And so he wanted to put something in that was a turnabout so he would never have to drive back out of his garage, but he could just drive straight in, back straight in, and never have to worry about running his son over. And so he finalized all those plans, and he paid a man to come, and he was going to pour the slab of that concrete. Amen. And he was going to get that concrete done on February the 8th of 1947. Amen. But on that day, there was a terrible rain that came through and made it impossible for that man to put that concrete down. Amen. And if you would have been able to put it down, he would have prevented what did happen on February 9th, 1947. Amen. On that day, Zorthia backed out of his garage, and his daughter lost grip of his son, and his son ran out into that little drive that was there and ran right in front of his dad's car, and his dad ran him over, killing him instantly. Moved by fear. But how much good did fear do as a motivator for that man? Amen. How much good, amen, we can be moved and motivated by fear. That can cause us to go into survival mode. We're not going to let anybody else hurt us. We're going to make sure that we don't get close enough to anyone where they can hurt us again. We want to get into that place where we won't let anybody get close. Amen. We won't let anybody have access again. Amen. But oh, when we move into survival mode and moved by fear, we'll do everything we can to keep from being hurt. But the reality is, amen, we're hurting ourselves. Amen. And reality is, we're hurting our relationship with the Lord. Amen. There's nothing that we can do to prevent, amen, certain things from happening. Amen. We could be fearful of germs. Amen. And be worried about all the germs. We could go all of our lives and never touch a germ. Amen. And all of a sudden take a breath somewhere. Amen. And that germ that we had no control over. Amen. That's also true. Amen. Whether it be driving on the road, flying in a plane, many other things that may grip our hearts with fear. Amen. But fear is not a motivator that God, amen, ever intended for us to be moved by. Amen. The Bible tells us that we have not received the spirit of fear, the spirit of bondage again to fear. Amen. Fear brings bondage. Amen. Many are bound by fear. Amen. And move into survival mode. Amen. But God doesn't want us in arrival mode. God doesn't want us in survival mode. Amen. God wants us to look at Philip and get to a place where we break out, amen, into revival mode. Amen. It's about time that we understand that as well. Amen. We break out by faith like Philip did. Amen. Oh yes, there were many who were bound in Jerusalem. Oh yes, there were many, amen, who didn't leave that place. Eventually they did. Amen. But the Bible records one who, when he left Jerusalem, he left in the spirit. Amen. He broke out of whatever lethargy he was in, and he began to do a work for the Lord. Amen. Philip finally obeyed the call to go, and he broke out. Amen. Amen. Have you ever spoken that phrase before? I wish we'd just break out in revival. Amen. I know this don't seem like wisdom as a time to preach this. It'd be better if everything was really high and moving and hopping right now and everybody's all excited. Amen. But if I was preaching that to you then, amen, then I'd be preaching to the choir. Amen. But we're kind of maybe in a little bit of a doldrum tonight. Amen. I'm just telling like it is. Amen. I know that's not always good to do. Amen. But oh, amen, sometimes we say, I wish we'd just break out in revival. Amen. I wish we'd just break out in revival. Amen. What happens when the church breaks out in revival? Look what happened when Philip broke out. Amen. Philip went into Samaria and he preached the gospel. Amen. He began to see the lost again as they truly were. He began to fulfill the Great Commission. Amen. He began to see souls saved, delivered, and baptized. Amen. Philip began to see miracles. Praise God. And Philip began to see the church putting the devil in his place. Amen. And I believe it's high time we break out in revival. Amen. I believe it's high time that we break out in revival. Have you ever, amen, I know and I understand, I'm not trying to make it seem like we're some spiritual giants and trying to diminish or demean the devil. Amen. But at the same time, I'm not here to compliment him either. Amen. I'm not here to pay him any compliments or make him bigger than he is. Amen. I want you to know, amen, tonight that God is bigger than the devil. Amen. We know that Satan, amen, he comes as a roaring lion. Amen. Seeking whom he may devour. And we are to be sober and to be vigilant. Amen. But a sober and vigilant soldier, amen, understands his weapons. Amen. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. But you know what the devil does to us? He tries to put us in his place. Amen. Instead of us putting him in his place. Amen. He does. Amen. You know, the devil is, there are fetters that are prepared for him. Did you know that? Amen. The Bible tells us that there's going to come a day, amen, when he's bound for 1,000 years. Amen. He's the one that's headed for fetters. But you know what he's always doing? He's always trying to put fetters and chains on the saints of God. Amen. He's always trying to bind our hands and our feet. Amen. He's trying to put us in the place that really belongs to him. Amen. Not only does the devil have fetters coming to him, but the devil has fire coming to him. Amen. The devil, amen, is the one that hell was prepared for. Amen. But unfortunately, hell hath enlarged itself. Amen. The devil's trying to bring as many people as he can down to that place. Amen. Because he doesn't want to be there alone. Amen. He's not going to be there torturing those tortured souls in hell. Amen. But he's going to be down there being tortured with us. Or when not with us. Oh, Lord, help me. Amen. God, help me. Amen. That's the wrong place to mess up. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, the devil was the one that hell was meant for. Amen. He is the one that's supposed to be going to the fetters. He's the one that's supposed to be going to the fire. Amen. But there's, unfortunately, there's a lot of people, amen, that are bound by fetters. And sadly, there's a lot of people that are still today burning in the fire. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, God never intended for us to go there. Amen. The devil's the one that's intended for those places. There's one other place, amen, that the devil was intended for the devil, but he's always finding ways to bring the people of God there. Amen, that's feet. Amen, feet. You know, there's a lot of people that the devil's got his foot right on their neck. He's holding them down. Amen, but I don't read anywhere in the Bible that it says the saints' place is under his feet. In fact, I read in the Bible, in the book of Romans, chapter number 16, amen, it says, "Then the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Amen. Jesus destroyed the devil at the cross. Amen. There, the serpent may have bruised his heel, but he crushed that serpent's head with his feet. Amen. But now God tells us that we can take our feet, amen, and by the power of God and with the word of God, we can put the devil under our feet. Amen. It's about time. Amen. We don't keep letting him put us in fetters. Amen. It's about time we don't keep letting him put his feet on our neck. Amen. We need to understand, amen, that God's perfect place for that, amen, that devil, amen, is under our feet. Amen. Amen. And when we're having revival, amen, we can put the devil in his place. Yeah. Amen. So does anybody in here want to break out in revival? I'm not talking about going to a series of meetings. Amen. But I'm talking about in your personal prayer life. Amen. I'm talking about in your soul. Amen. I'm talking about in your experience, in my experience with God. Amen. The truth is, amen, if we want to see revival break out, amen, we're going to have to break out. Amen. We as individuals are going to have to break out. Amen. There's Philip. He's all by himself. Amen. But what did he do? He broke out. Amen. Philip broke out and went to Samaria. And when Philip broke out, amen, he found out that God was with him the whole way. Praise God. Amen. While the rest of the church, amen, may have been in many different places, amen, Philip went in the spirit. Amen. Philip broke out in revival. Amen. And it reminds me of a man in a time, a man named Ezekiel, in a time when the children of Israel were in captivity. Amen. Children of Israel were in captivity. They were in bondage to the Babylonians. Amen. They had fallen because of their own sin. Amen. And while the nation was in captivity, amen, there was a man by the name of Ezekiel. Amen. And he finds his calling from God. Amen. There he is by the brook Chebar. Amen. And while he's there by the brook Chebar, God begins to appear to him and God begins to call him out. Amen. Here was Ezekiel, and Ezekiel decided they may all be in bondage. Amen. They may be a valley full of dry bones, but I'm going to break out. Amen. When Ezekiel decided to do that, amen, God began to move through Ezekiel. Amen. And if you follow him all the way through, amen, you'll find that Ezekiel saw the day when revival would break out on the whole world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I think it's pretty significant that Ezekiel, amen, found this by the river. Amen. Ezekiel found this by the river. Amen. He was by the brook Chebar when he had a vision of God. Later on, you'll find that Ezekiel had a vision from the Lord, and the Lord took him to a temple. Amen. And in that temple, he saw an altar. Amen. He began to measure the altar and see the things that were being done there. But as he looked at the altar, he saw that out from the altar, amen, there flowed a river. Amen. That river flowed from the altar through the temple out into the nation. Amen. That river flowed all through the land. Amen. And the angel of the Lord brought Ezekiel all the way out to the river. And there Ezekiel stood. Looked down at the river. I mean, he saw that as that river moved, everywhere that river flowed, amen, everything it touched was healed. He saw that everywhere that river flowed, when it was flowing, everything it touched brought life. Amen. And the trees that were on the sides of the river, amen, those trees grew leaves and fruit. Amen. And those leaves were for the healing of the nation. Amen. There you see, amen, there in the house of God, a river flowed. That river flowed and touched the land. Amen. Once we could see the river flow, amen, you know that's a type of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When the river flows out of the temple, amen, the land can be healed. Amen. But it's got to start there. Amen. I remember David. Amen. Where was he? Well, we think about David. What do you think of? Amen. He was a ruddy boy. Amen. He slew a giant. Amen. He slew a bear. He slew a lion. Amen. And he did that to the lion, to the bear. Amen. But when he faced the giant, he did that with a sling and a stone. Amen. And we always focus on the sling and the stone hitting Goliath between the eyes. Amen. A lot of speculation has been made of what, why did he bring five smooth stones? Amen. But I like the fact that David went down to the brook. Amen. And he found the stones by the brook. Amen. He found the weapons that he needed when he was there by the river. Praise God. And so it is with us. Amen. The river being a type of the Holy Ghost. Amen. By the Spirit of God. Amen. He causes us, amen, to become mighty. Amen. By the Spirit of God, we're made more than conquerors. Amen. By the Spirit of God, he causes us to triumph in Christ. Amen. It was by the river. Amen. When David found the stones. Amen. I can tell you, take it to places and times when I've been up against it. Amen. The enemy's been screaming like Goliath, praise God, but somewhere by the brook, hallelujah, amen, I was able to get a hold of something that helped me to break out, amen, break out of the fear, amen, break out of the familiar, amen, and break into a place where God brought victory, amen, hallelujah. Jerusalem was besieged just like Samaria was. Amen. In fact, they were besieged by the same people. The Assyrians destroyed Samaria. Amen. They did so by besieging it. Amen. The famine brought them to a place where they gave up and they surrendered. Amen. But if you'll follow that same Assyrian empire, when they came against Hezekiah and the Jewish people in Jerusalem, when they besieged the city roundabout, amen, you'll read about it in history, and you'll also read about it in the Word of God, about Hezekiah's aqueduct. Amen. What's that talking about? Amen. There was a river that flowed into the city. Woo! Praise God. And though the Assyrians gathered round about, though they besieged the city and there was no way out, praise God, there was a river that flowed into the city. Amen. Kind of makes me think of Psalm chapter number 46, where it says, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. Amen. I'm thankful, amen, that when I feel like I'm hemmed in, there's still a river, praise God. When I feel like, amen, I'm all by myself, amen, there's still a river, praise God. Amen. When I feel like there's no way out, hallelujah. Amen. There is a river. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. There's a lot of folks, and I've been there before, that are letting the devil beat you up, hem you in. Amen. Hold you back. You know what he does? He'll point at your past, or he'll point at some things that are going on in your life right now. And he'll say, as you're standing there like Ezekiel was, looking down at the river, amen, he'll say, that river's not for you. That river's for clean people. That river's for people who've lived better than you have. Amen. That river is a place, oh yeah, you could go there, but as soon as you get in, amen, you're going to drown. Amen. Fear. Amen. That river is a place where you're going to lose control. You're not going to have, amen, that's what the devil does. Amen. As you stand over looking at the river, amen, thinking about whether you're going to get all the way in and serve the Lord. Amen. That devil beats you up. Amen. But you know what he does? Amen. It's so ridiculous if we really think about it. Amen. He's trying to tell us, amen, that the things that have us bound will keep us from the river. When the truth is, the river will keep us from the things that have us bound. Amen, that's the truth. Amen, and he knows that. And he's trying his best, amen, to make us feel unworthy. Amen, to make us into a place where we're unwilling. Amen, he puts fear in our hearts and our minds. Amen, he makes us too comfortable with the familiar. Amen, we let him do it, but it's high time we wake up. Amen, it's not that the things that have us bound are keeping us from the river, but the river will keep those things from us. Amen, in fact, the Bible backs that up. Amen, he said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not satisfy the lust of the flesh. The devil says, look at your flesh. You can't walk in the Spirit. Who are you? Amen. But God says, walk in the Spirit and you'll mortify the deeds of the body. Amen. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll not satisfy the lust of the flesh. Amen. The Spirit of God. Amen. He is not waiting. There's not an inspection. As long as we come through the blood, amen, we come through the blood and confess our sins to Jesus. I'm not talking about trying to continue in sin and carry our sins into the river. Amen. But if they've been washed by the blood, amen, you can get into the river like Ezekiel did. Amen. Ezekiel kind of waded out into the water. You know, some people, amen, they like to wade out of the water. If I'm going to get in some water and I'm afraid it's a little cold, I'm just going to jump on in. Amen, because why torture myself all that time wading out? Amen, just jump in. Amen, but Ezekiel began to wade out. Amen, he got ankle high. Amen, and he liked it as he went. Amen, he got knee high. Amen, and every time he got deeper, it got better. Amen, Ezekiel kept on wading out and following the angel of the servant of the Lord that was there. Amen, he got waist high. Amen, he got to that place where he was almost to a place where he couldn't stand anymore. And then the Bible says he got out so far that it was waters to swim in. Praise God. Amen, what did he do? He got to a place where the Spirit of God was in control. Amen. And that's where we need to get in life. Amen. It's high time you stop trying to control it yourself. Amen. It's high time you try to stop protecting yourself. Amen. But get to a place where the Holy Ghost is in control. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes we let our trials keep us from getting into the river. Amen. Sometimes we think, oh, these trials will keep us from the river. Amen. We have it so hard and so difficult, and we do sometimes. Amen. This world's not easy to live in. Amen. This life's not always easy. Amen. But in times when life's not easy, amen, we need to step out into the water. Amen. I just wish sometimes we say, I wish the Lord would just carry me. Sometimes before we get carried, the Lord's waiting for us to walk. Amen. Sometimes before the Lord will carry us, the Holy Ghost is waiting for us to walk. Walk in the Spirit. That's what Philip did. Philip walked in the Spirit. That led him to Samaria. He continued to walk in the Spirit. That led him up the road to Gaza. Amen. As he's walking in the Spirit, eventually, the Holy Ghost caught him up and carried him, didn't he? Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes we just sit back and say, I wish God would just pick me up. Amen. I wish God would just carry me. It's getting too hard. It's getting too difficult. I can't do this on my own. I know. Amen. We all know that. We can't do it on our own. But what God wants us to do is God wants us, when we don't feel like we can, he wants us to walk. Sometimes God waits for us. You say, oh, Lord, I've been in this trial so long. I've been in this valley so long. Don't seem like I'm ever going to get out. Lord, I've been struggling with this for so long. It don't seem like you're ever going to pull me out of it. Amen. Sometimes before God pulls us out, he's waiting for us to take a step of faith. Amen. Sometimes before God pulls us out, he's waiting for us to take a step of faith. Amen. Look all through the New Testament. Look all through the miracles of Christ. I don't have time to get into every one. Ain't everybody said amen. Amen. But as we look at Jesus and the miracles that he performed, what did he do? He told the lame man, rise up and walk. What did he do? Amen. He told the blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. In other words, he said, I know you're not seeing it happen right now, but if you'll take a step, amen, you'll see God move. Amen. I'm here to tell somebody tonight, amen, you need to take a step. Amen. You've been waiting for God to move, but God's waiting for you to take a step. Amen. God's waiting for you to cry out. Amen. God's waiting for you to say, I'm going to go on. Amen. I'm going to go on, whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to go on. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Would you stand with me here tonight? Amen. Oh, Lord, help us tonight, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Philip began to walk. Amen. And as he began to walk, eventually, amen, eventually he got caught up. Eventually, God picked him up. Amen. Lord, I'm so low. I wish you'd just pick me up. Amen. Start walking. Stop laying there. Hallelujah. My mind goes back to a scripture in Ezekiel chapter number 16. And I wasn't planning to say this, but I felt the Lord quicken me just now. Amen. Ezekiel chapter number 16. God's speaking to the nation of Israel, but God's speaking to us as well. And he said, when I saw thee, thou wast in thy blood. And he said, I passed by thee when thou wast in thy blood. Amen. And he said, and I said unto thee, live. I said unto thee, live. God could have just picked him up. God could have just shook him. God could have just lifted him up like Smith Wigglesworth did and thrown him up against the wall and said, but he didn't. God simply spoke, and he said, live. Yeah. Amen. Well, how in the world can a dead, bleeding being live? Amen. The same way that God performed every one of his miracles. Yeah. Amen. The same way that Lazarus lived. Amen. The same way that the church is going to be caught up. Amen. And those that are dead in Christ will be raised up. Amen. What is it? With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Amen. With a shout and the voice of the archangel. Amen. God's going to raise us up again. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight. Amen. God's speaking to somebody and saying, live. Yeah. Amen. God's speaking. I don't know if it's one, if it's None. Amen. If it's none, I'm preaching to myself. But I don't feel like the Lord laid this on my heart in vain. Amen. And the reality is, amen, whether it's the familiar that's got you bound up or whether it's fear that's got you hemmed in, amen, I'm here to encourage you tonight. Amen. It's time to take a step out by faith and say, Lord, amen, this trial is not going to kill me. And say, Lord, amen, this difficulty I'm going through is not going to be my destruction. Amen. Lord, I understand and I believe you that even though I don't feel like it, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Amen. What about it tonight, saint of God? Amen. Which group do you find yourself in? Amen. Have you been in arrival mode? Amen. It's been difficult to move you. Amen. Have you been in survival mode? You've been doing some things and living in ways that maybe, amen, in normal situations you wouldn't like to live. Amen. I'm here to encourage you. It's time to break out into revival mode. Amen. It's time to break out into revival mode. Amen. Oh, let's pray. Lord, help us tonight. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you just take the feeble words that I tried to preach tonight, Lord, and God, that you would allow the words that you intended, amen, to accomplish that purpose. Lord, move upon hearts and lives, and if there's one, Lord God, that's bound up, if there's one that can't seem to break out, I pray, God, that you would give them that faith, help them to move by your Spirit, and to walk by faith, believing that you're going to set them free. I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody is judging. Nobody's looking down. What about it? Amen. You've been bound up and you want to be free. Amen. These altars are right here. Amen. It's wide open for you tonight. Amen. What about it tonight? Amen. You've been living in a way that maybe, amen, maybe in the past you would have never thought you'd get there. But here you are tonight. Amen. And you feel bound up and you feel like you can't break loose. Amen. The fear's got you held. Amen. The familiar's got you hemmed in. Amen. It's time to break out tonight. Amen. It's time to break out tonight. Amen. You found yourself saying to God, Lord, I don't think I can make it. Amen. God's here to tell you tonight. Amen. Live. Amen. Live. You can be more.